Possible Ordinances 6A, Conditional Use Approval. You want me to read them all into the record? 6B is Preliminary Subdivision Approval, 6C, Staff Approved Subdivision, 6D, Street Design Standards.
Gentlemen, with regard to all of these, we're not asking the commission to take any action on them, because obviously they'd have to be introduced first by council and then come back to the commission for a hearing and then go back to council, since they're either subdivision or zoning code amendments. They're ones that, at least with regard to two of them, have been around for a little while, and the idea was to get the commission to look at them, decide if they were good ideas, and then send them up with a sort of a suggestion to council that they be introduced and go through the formal process.
Okay. Very good.
Lawrence, can we just run through them?
I'll start if you want.
Okay.
The first one, conditional use approval, we discussed several times. We'd like to, for consideration, to amend the time period for the approval of a conditional use. Rather than be a year and have to come in for two extensions, that it'd just be 3 years. If they're not substantially away in 3 years, it's void. Had to reapply. Second. Take an ordinance to do that.
So that just makes it clear to the developer that that's
not taking anything away from you, getting the same amount of time.
Right.
Give it all up front.
We realize that it takes a year to 2 years sometimes to get the permit, according to their engineers or the applicants.
Right. So they'll have a 3-year approval.
Well, it saves them time and it saves the county time too, and money from not having to put it on the agenda and have a meeting and et cetera. So
figure out when things are retroactive to or whatever. Yeah, you'd be done with that.
I think that's great.
The second ordinance is references of the time period of validity of a preliminary subdivision plan. Again, the basic amendment to the ordinance is to change it from 12 months for the tentative approval to 36 months, being 3 years. We also are proposing to strike references to the final plat, but it makes reference to not to exceed 2 years. That would be struck. And then we had to, everything else stays the same.
I would add one thing to this, just because it's within this section, and since we're not talking about an introduced ordinance at this point. A, in this, I think if the commission wants to suggest that council introduce an ordinance regarding Section 99.9, as we all know, that there was that Ashburn case that came out with the Supreme Court, which gave those four possible outcomes of a subdivision application process. It would be my suggestion, if the commission's good with it, to change A to essentially just restate those four possible outcomes that were in Ashburn. That way everybody knows this is what it is. I mean, again, if the commission finds that all regulations are complied with, the plan's approved, if the commission, and I'm paraphrasing basically, it's the same though, if the commission finds that all the regulations are complied with, but the commission has some concerns it desires to condition final approval on, the approval's made contingent on the completion of those conditions. If the commission finds that some regulations not complied with, the plan's denied, or if the commission finds that in order to determine if the regulations have been complied with, more information is required, the plan's tabled until the information's been provided. That way it's just right there, right what the case says, that the county can do on subdivisions. That would be a suggestion, since this ordinance happens to address that we make that amendment at the same time.
Can we make that in bold letters for me?
Absolutely.
Mr. Griffin's working on another ordinance related to appeals.
Right.
That's in the works. That hadn't come back to the council yet for introduction. But right. That'll be coming down the pike pretty soon.
Right. I got a copy of that after this was posted. Right. Yeah.
That's another section of the subdivision.
And while we're on paragraph A, the phrase "the second regular meeting" be struck, because we have public hearings more than just the second?
Scattered all over.
It's the first sentence.
Yeah, and that chance easy to make. Might as well clean up the
section. Clean it up while we're at it.
Just refer to that shall be conducted during a regular meeting of the commission.
Yeah.
Without having to put in at the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And should some reference be put in there to the plus process, since reference is made to the TAC?
Yeah, because the
There's a problem with using that word regular, though, because we call the third, the meeting in the middle special, so it's not any regular meeting. Okay, so the next regular meeting is what you're saying?
Yeah, the regular meetings are the two scheduled with public hearings. The special is the one that doesn't have public hearings.
Okay.
If we made it a public hearing, then we have to change the name.
Oh, I thought you were trying to do it at any
I just said conducted during a regular
Okay.
A regular meeting of the commission. Well, we could change that to
No, that's fine.
Meeting of commission.
No, I understand what you're saying now.
Public hearing meeting.
I understand what you're saying now. Okay.
Mr. Johnson, I understand your concern about the plus comments, but this would apply to all major subdivisions, whereas under the MOU, plus review doesn't occur on all of them, so.
Okay. I was just wanting to make sure that, that's tied in there somehow, that we also take into consideration the comments and recommendations of plus, you know, which is certainly part of that lawsuit as well, that we take into consideration, but.
Maybe you could say relevant state agencies or state and federal agencies.
Well, technically, the agencies on PLUS are the same agency we send the information to TAC. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Shane?
Yes.
All of them. That may be Board of Education.
Yeah.
That's on there, too, on PLUS. Maybe a couple on there that we didn't.
And the state saving paper or saving money because they'll send the comment we already, if it's a TAC review, they'll send the comment we already replied to PLUS.
So on the time period for the validity of a preliminary subdivision plat, it would be your recommendation that we amend it before we at least recommend it to the council for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To include the Ashburn criteria.
Right. And clean up those other changes, too.
Okay. The third one was, or is, allowing the staff approval of major subdivisions containing three or fewer lots to be located along a new street and for the revision of fee schedule.
This is one that Mr. Couts worked on and I reviewed, and essentially what it does is carves out a new type of subdivision, which is called a major subdivision, in parentheses, staff approved. It basically codifies more clearly the three-lot subdivisions that the commission deals with on a regular basis, and says that, and the reason for that is that it essentially looks at it and says that under the code, somebody has the right to do four lots if they're on frontage on a regular street without going to the commission. This says you can now do, you know, do three lots if it's on a 50-foot right-of-way, like we've been doing. If there's an application for that, notice would go out to folks within 200 feet, and assuming no objections are raised, or that there's either the director, the commission, or neighboring property owners desire a public hearing, it would be approved over the counter. I think the thought of it is to get some of those, which are really pretty administrative in nature, off the commission's agenda if it's appropriate to do so, but keeping the ones that are appropriate for commission review in front of the commission.
Right. It basically would basically says the director may refer it to the commission, which is the way it should be.
Right.
Because we're going to have some that we don't feel comfortable with, and the commission should see them.
So, for example,
like that discussion we had tonight, we had the three lots with easements and wetlands, and that should probably go to the commission for review, even if it's done through the special meeting process.
Would not be a public hearing in your.
It could be if someone, if we send notices and someone would like to have a public hearing. That's sort of what DENREG does on some of their applications. They advertise it, and if someone asks for a public hearing, they schedule one.
Mm-hmm. That's the way, there's a couple state agencies that do that.
Yeah.
Now, can I propose a for instance as to how this would affect the situation where we have someone with a 30-acre parcel of ground, they want to come in and have it approved for three lots, and we typically say that any further subdivision requires a public hearing for a major subdivision. Is that still, will that still be appropriate, or 'cause so we don't have someone coming in with a 30-acre piece of ground, and then they just keep coming back three or four lots at a time and circumvent the public hearing.
You still have the minor subdivision regulation that provides for how many lots you can figure. You get four as a given, you take the acreage that's left and divide it by 10, it tells you how many more lots you can get, then you're maxed out.
Right.
So that's controlled.
Okay.
And this would have to count as part of that number. So they wouldn't be able to come in with three, 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 three.
Right, so that, so that there's not a loophole being created.
We need to make sure that we're not creating one, yeah.
Right.
And that, and actually in 997D, it talks about, upon the director's determination that subdivision is in compliance with the provisions of the section, and it cannot be construed as an extension of or part of a parcel previously subdivided under the terms of this section, he shall approve it, so.
The second three is a public hearing.
Yeah. Just like what you'd have now.
Now.
Or one.
Right.
Yeah, if they create a road, create an easement to get to one, two, or three, then they shouldn't be allowed to do anymore. Unless you allow them to max it out at three.
Now, just to use Mr. Johnson's example, if, Lawrence, correct me if I'm wrong, if they came in and had a 30-acre parcel, and I think if they kept it in three big 10-acre ag parcels, that wouldn't count against this, though.
Wouldn't count against them.
Yeah.
But it would count as, the number's still there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what size the parcel is. If you went for the maximum, you would take your acreage and put the minimum three-quarter acre lots as the first four, and then get your calculation for numbers, and then work around your number of parcels. You got 100 acres, you got 14 lots without coming to going forward at a time over 3 years.
Okay.
That one came in the other day with us in an estate. States are tricky because they've already been set a plan to be divided equally between the heirs, and you have to look at those a little different. You have to be careful. As much time we go to events with Jim and ask him questions before we would consider it. But if the will was written in 2005, it ought to be in compliance with the regulations. If it was written in 1967, then you could say it was prior. There's got to be some flexibility in there somewhere. Don't you think? Oh, and the fee has already been changed to 500.
Okay, yeah.
But I think it was in...
It's in the
fee. It's in 99, but it's also in Chapter 62 of another code with the county system, okay. Which is a fee, which is all fees.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they had both been changed before.
Yeah.
But Rick wrote this part a while ago.
Yeah, this one's been around a little while, too.
And the last one is the street design standards. As you've heard us in discussion a few times recently, the county engineering office adopted street design standards. Council approved them. But they're different from what our subdivision regulations are, and they need to be the same.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do here is refer to that standard rather than the standards that are in the subdivision ordinance. It brings it more up to current. And then we could, and I think you deleted, did you delete the cross-section out of that?
Yeah, yeah. That'll because that section's been deleted. What it does is...
been amended off and on.
Yeah. Rather than have to amend the code every time that, you know, DelDOT, you know, recommends to county engineering or whatever that this is how the street should be, it says that you have to comply with the standards that are established by the county engineering department and approved by county council, you know, and just takes the specifications completely out of the code since those are changing too rapidly to make it
easy
to change.
And the difficulty we were having is that we required a cross-section of the street to be drawn right on the final plan. And half the time, the cross-section didn't match what was approved through engineering because of certain conditions on site. And the worst example, and also the best example, was Zachariah's Cove. They had wetland at their property line. The street was at their property line. They basically created a bulkhead, and their street was all one-sided. It all just tilted down to a swale on one side and then filtered down into the cove right there at Zachariah's Cove. So that was totally opposite of what the cross-section shows. But it was drawn on the plan in that instance. But in some instances, just the standard cross-section drawn in, it really doesn't show what's in the field. And a buyer could come in and say, well, this isn't what my street's supposed to look like.
And seeing all the street technical information is done through county engineering, the public works department. So and they're the ones that create the standards and inspect them.
And basically what you're doing here is just putting in what the, what was adopted by the county engineering office, A stayed the same, B stayed the same, C is underlined with additional information. And then you start bracketing out the information.
Basically, and I'll go through it, because I had the way that requires underlining brackets, it makes it difficult to read, but it keeps in the requirement or the possibility that if you have four lots or fewer, the surface may be 2 inches crusher run, so that, you know, somebody doesn't have to put a full-blown street if they're doing a couple lots. Still talks about adequate drainage needs to be provided. Still states that all entrances have to have DLDOT approval. It deletes the specs and then keeps in the requirements for certification, inspection, et cetera, by county engineering. So really it keeps everything except for the particular specifications on how you got to build the street. It makes it that the more general requirement that it be whatever county engineering and county council approve.
County council approve something different than county engineering has approved?
No, they adopt what engineering recommended. In this case, they approved the standards. That was back probably November, effective January 1st.
So all their approvals will now be
same.
Yeah.
And they've already been endorsed by council.
And this, because there was a question that came up about this, it also states that it'd be the standards in existence at the time of application, so that you're not constantly in a never-ending cycle of having to revise your plan depending on when the street revisions
occur. So it's a time of application, not time of approval or...
Or final approval or... Yeah, right. And the thought behind that was that could really change depending on, you know, what the specifications were, the change, or if it was a width, it could really change a site plan and,
right.
You know, really...
Yeah.
But we had that recently, didn't we, where an application had come in and the adjacent land was not in ag production, so there was not a buffer. And then later on in the process, the land was converted back to ag, and it was set up that ag buffer, thinking of the lot up in your district, Mr. Burton.
Smith.
Maybe.
And the council, as the regulation have somewhat revised that with a forested buffer, just requiring it to be 20 foot around a perimeter rather than 30 foot next to ag.
Mm-hmm.
The new ordinance, which we have we got a subdivision yet, Shane, that's going to be affected by that?
No, we're still in 07, and the buffer ordinance changed July 28th, I believe.
So, I mean, we've got some applications that have come in since that was passed. But none of them have been affected by the ordinance yet because we're still dealing with public hearing scheduling for applications since 07. So they're going to go under the old regs rather than them, unless they choose to abide by it.
What's what's the rate of new applications coming in looking like these days?
I think I've had, I mean, I could stand corrected, but probably two rezoning applications this year. And one of them's a repeat, which was Nick Rada, where he withdrew the next day
right,
and then
yeah.
Reapplied. So really, I only had one new.
How about subdivisions?
One. Conditional uses, maybe three or four.
So we have a stand a chance of getting caught up in 2009, maybe?
No. Unless you have special meetings to do it, because we got 100. And, what did I tell you? Shane had 48, 42, and 40, I think it was. That's 130.
But at some point, it needs to catch up. It may be more than a year.
2010.
Now, some of those, they just haven't been heard. Some of them are already scheduled, but
okay.
That was a month or so ago. I didn't count them.
We're past the halfway point of 07
yeah,
subdivisions,
right.
And then there were 28 and 08.
But yeah, it's right now it's been because some expeditious actions taking place for utilities and firehouses and schools and
understood.
Other things. That we were about 20 months out right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Justice, at his public hearing, indicated he was 18 months out.
Right, and most of them, I've had a couple that look like they're going to be at 20. So I think the ones that we hear, In the next couple of weeks came in, a couple of them came in April. Because remember back in November and December, we didn't have anything that we submitted to council because we didn't know if they'd get to act on, and they were holding hearings. So we just scheduled subdivisions for a couple of meetings, and that caused some of the conditional uses to back up a little bit. So they're probably at 20. Subdivisions are okay. I think they're ahead a little bit.
Do we need special meetings? Additional special meetings?
Do we? Up to the commission and the council. And they are proposing to have a possible meeting with of the minds in next month or so.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it. Yeah. I just think that 20 months is such a...
It is, it's long.
That's such a long time for someone to wait for...
The frustrating part about the 20 months is that's the mom and pop that applied.
Well, see,
and they're in compliance with the code, and they weren't in violation, and then they're still waiting for their turn.
Well, it's not the professional developers I'm concerned about so much as I am the average folks who...
Yeah, right.
I told Lawrence all the utility ones that get expedited, I can think of one that's been built. And that was Delaware Electric Co-op down by Cross Keys in Millsboro.
Yeah.
They're still going for permits, just like everybody else. So the time's still there.
Well, we're just trying to get all this shovel-ready stuff, I guess. I don't know. I think we'll get them all shovel-ready.
Now, the one thing I do know, the projects are smaller, a lot smaller now than what they were.
Well.
And it seems like it's what people are looking for when they come in and ask. I like to find a 30, 40-lot subdivision because it's probably going to get built. And it'll probably be maintained at a minimal cost, and that's where they want to be. They all know they're going to have to maintain it. It's complete.
Usually about once every 2 months there's a subdivision one that gets withdrawn.
Yeah, we got a couple withdrawn. A couple of change zones withdrawn, a couple of conditional uses withdrawn.
And they go to the back of the pile?
They have to come back in and start over. Unless.
If they come back.
Unless they were suggested that they withdraw. Then they go to the top.
Yeah.
Get re-advertised.
All right, gentlemen, anything else for...
Oh, one thing that Shane and I talked about doing, we've got a couple projects for one-lot subdivisions because we're creating a street that you've already seen and at a special meeting and said they had to come back and reapply. There's one next meeting? Or we just had it this past meeting. Brickman, for example. We just put him to the top as a part of the public hearing process.
Okay.
So you might see a 6 public hearings one night because one of them is one lot.
Yeah.
But our fear is we had a one lotter 6 or 8 months ago. That,
yeah. 2 hour discussion.
2 hour discussion whereby a 200 lot subdivision next door wasn't any problem.
Well, I think that's a risk that we take when we do that, but I understand. I mean, I would encourage you to continue to look for those opportunities, though, and we'll just take that risk because we need to get these things done for folks.
Well, it's something we can discuss with council, I think. And
okay.
I'm sure the new council is going to agree with the old council. They think they shouldn't be 20 months to get to a public hearing process.
We'll see what they have to say. Anyone else?
There's books for everybody for next Thursday night.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Three books for four
hearings. Yes, two of the applications are combined.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you have you got 3 books for 4 projects.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, there being none, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.